welcome everybody that's here and those of you that are watching us, wherever you're watching us from, around the globe or somewhere in the United States. I want to welcome you. We're going to get into Deuteronomy tonight. A lot of good stuff in here, and you're going to see some a lot of things from the New Testament as well, I believe, as we travel through here. So let's pray and let's get started in God's Word tonight. Lord, we praise you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for all the good that you do in our lives. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from you. We don't deserve anything, but you made us righteous by the work of your Son. And we praise you for that, Lord. And we have come into your family, into the fellowship of the believers with the fellowship of light. And we thank you, Lord, that you not left us to ourselves, Lord, but you have reached down to us in our weakness and brought us salvation and eternal life. And give us new hope, hope without a question mark in this life, Lord. And we give you praise for that. We're going to study your word tonight, Lord, and we just ask that you help us to understand and go deeper in that even though we may have read these passages before, Lord, we just want to keep learning about you. And there's no end to a God in whom there's no end. So we're here to serve you, to learn of you, and to take your yoke upon us, Lord, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. May that be our lot tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 27. I misplaced my good reading glasses, so I got my cool reading glasses on. They're almost too cool for me. I can't hardly get used to them. So as I said to you last week, as we were getting to this point, that obedience brings blessing, right? I mean, it's if we get a cause and result. If you think about life, all of life's set up that way, right? You may have to labor and plant the garden, but the reward comes, right, as the summer starts coming on, the beans get ready and the tomatoes and all that stuff. So there's a cause and effect, and so God wants us to obey him, and he's going to tell us a few reasons why as we go through here, why that's important beyond just you and I being cared for or being safe. There's other reasons as well that he talks about in these passages. So let's look at chapter 27. Now Moses, when the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you today, and it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones, whitewash them with lime. You shall write on them all the words of this law that you have crossed over. You may enter into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you." So he said, what your expectation is going to happen. But he says, I want you to put these stones up, cross over the Jordan. He says, therefore it shall be when you have crossed over the Jordan that on Mount Ebal, you shall set up these stones, which I command you today. You shall whitewash them with lime. And when you build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones, you shall not use an iron tool on them. You shall build with whole stones the altar of the Lord your God and offer burnt offerings on the Lord your God, on it to the Lord your God. You shall offer peace offerings, and you shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God. And you shall write very plainly on the stones all the words of this law. So as they're getting ready, as Moses is preparing them to go into the promised land, the first thing God's asked them to do is to remember him, to put them in front of him. And I would say any move you and I are making, wherever you're going, wherever you're traveling, spiritually, physically, any of that, that should be the first thing on our list. We should put God in front of us. His ways, his presence, his word, that should be the first thing we do as we start our journey into that land, whatever. God may call you to do different things, right? We all get different, the call, he may give you different tasks is how I like to say that, because the call is to know him. But as those tasks come, we want to make sure that whatever we're doing, we start off with God, right? And God's kind of putting this in front of them again, his ways, all that as they cross over in the promised land. Then Moses and the priests and the Levites spoke to Israel, saying, "Take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Therefore you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God, observe his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today." So he's admonishing them to obey the Lord. Now God's not on some ego trip. All right, he's God whether we obey him or not. He's in charge. I don't care who thinks they're in charge. These glasses are really messing with me. I feel like I'm from the 70s or something. I don't know. So I am from the 70s. I shouldn't have said that. So when God puts you and I in Him, Stickman's in what I call boundaries, right? I mean, God sets up boundaries for all of us. He's not a loose God that anything goes. He sets up boundaries for Stickman, and we're the same way. You know, the people who don't like boundaries, let them have a child. Then that all changes, don't it? They like boundaries then. They want to check out the dude that's coming to talk to their daughter, right? And so boundaries are put in place because of love, right? God put us in a boundary. He put us within His boundaries because He loves us. He knows if we step outside of these boundaries, we put ourselves at risk. And sometimes not only ourselves, but everybody that's involved with us. And so God wants us to be nurtured, protected. He wants us to be blessed because He knows we're at risk when we step out of His ways. I'm calling it a boundary, but when we step away from His ways and do our own thing, we become at risk. And that's basically what sin is. As I said last week, sin is basically stick man deciding to do it his way instead of God's way. That's what Adam and Eve did, and that's what we all do. We decide that we're going to do it our way instead of God's way. Now, a lot of things come out of that, right? And a lot of manifestations come out of that. But basically, sin started, this is what we got to understand. Sin started right there in Stickman's heart. That's where it started. And that's why I said to you a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last Sunday or Sunday before, the difference between a sin offering and the trespass offering. The sin offering is for, in the Old Testament, was for the condition of sin. The trespass offering was for the incidents, or when we actually commit a transgression, a specific event. But the sin offering is for our condition. We're all born into sin. Y'all have heard me say this too. You're sick of it probably. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. You're born into sin, right? And so we got to understand that God set up boundaries for us to live in, to be blessed in, to experience His fullness. And that's why He put boundaries up. He didn't put boundaries up because He's on an ego trip trying to show us who's in charge. He's in charge. He's just in charge. I laugh sometimes when I hear people talk on media, and I'm thinking, you're really not in charge here. And so the Lord does that because of love. We do the same thing. You've heard me say this many times. You may have a pet. You put boundaries up for that pet because you have some level of affection for that pet, right? Your children. It's all we put boundaries up because we love them. We want them to be safe. And that's how God, that's a way that He demonstrates His love to us. And Moses commanded the people on the same day, saying, "These shall stand at Mount Gerizim to bless all the people when you have crossed over the Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, Benjamin, and these shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali," because they wouldn't fully comply with the program. "And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to the men of Israel, 'Cursed is the one who makes a carved molten image, an abomination to the Lord, and work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret.' And all the people shall answer and say, 'Amen.' Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt." And all the people shall say, "Amen." Is there anything worse? Well, there's things that are worse, but it's a bad feeling when you step into a moment in public or wherever and you watch this child just blasting its parent. It just don't feel right, does it? It's just a bad feeling, you know. I mean, even if they're sinners or whatever, you can just tell that's just not my spirit don't feel good when you see a child just berating its parent or pushing its parent around or trying to. Another thing, I'm thinking, let me have them for a couple of weeks. You know, that's what I'm thinking in the back of my mind. And the Levites shall speak all these, and they'll say, "Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark." And the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road." Now, when I read that, I'm thinking, who would do that? But you know what we've seen in the last year and a half? We've seen grown men, probably in the 20 range, beat up old men and women on the street. I never thought we'd see that in this country. Some woman here in Danville, some 70-year-old woman got knocked out with a punch. Somebody just walked by and punched her and knocked her out here. It's been a while back. And so you see why God's so instructive. It's things that I'm thinking, really? Somebody would lead a blind man off the road? Who would do such a thing? But it happens. It happens. And the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who perverts justice, do the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. So God's laying it all out for them, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's bed. And so now when you understand that and you go back to Noah, you understand there's a little more detail to that than what the Bible actually goes into. It doesn't go explicitly. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with any kind of an animal. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, and the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, amen. And that happened in Corinth, right? Paul had to address that in the church of Corinth. And cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. So that would be sowing discord, talking evil against somebody. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of the law by observing them. And all the people shall say, amen. Now what's ironic about all this, as we look at this, is that God told him to put him first as we go in the promised land, and then all these things we just read. See, this is why I've been on a crusade. Now, I'm a grace-loving, faith-being, hope-having dude. But I don't believe God intended for us to just discard the Old Testament and not use it. It's all his word. And so we got to understand what happened when the New Testament, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But here, is what's ironic about all these things, they're all still wrong. They were wrong in the Old Testament. They're wrong in the New Testament. And Paul said in the New Testament, he said, and I'll just use this circle as the law of God. He said, if you break the law in one spot, he said, you break the whole law. Paul said, why? Because if you break the law in one spot, the breach is there for the enemy to come in. And so Paul made that clear. He's talking about how that this, you may have a sin that don't seem to be as bad as someone else's, right? But it's all sin. And so Paul talks about, now God says the wages of sin is death. You know, that's why he spent so much time teaching us about the cause and effect of that. And then he was so adamant about delivering us out of that and offering us eternal life, he sent his only son and nailed him to a tree so that you and I could be born again, that we would have eternal life, that we could skip's not a good word, that we could overcome the wages of sin. Because we've all sinned. All sin have come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one, Paul said. All of our righteousness is filthy rags, on and on and on with Romans. But what God says, I'm giving you a way of escape. Jesus said, I'm going to take all your sin on me. He said, here's a guy in the ditch covered with the vomit from all of his abuse and his addiction. And Jesus comes and he's thinking, does anybody care? And Jesus says, I care. And he comes by. And here's the woman at the well. Couldn't find love in none of those guys. And Jesus said, I'm here. And over, he offers us all an escape from our sin, from the devastation of what the enemy would try to do with us. And the wages that we build up with our own sin, Jesus said, I'm coming to wipe all of that out and take that on you, away from you. One of my closest friends turned to an inordinate sexual lifestyle after he left, after we were all grown up. And over time, sometimes he lived in another state far away from here, where I was passionate at the time. When he would come in, he would come and sit. He knew I loved him. He knew I disapproved of how he was living, but he knew I loved him. And so he would come and sit on the back row, and he would speak to me. And this happened occasionally over a period of probably 15 to 20 years. And finally he came in one night, and he sat on the back row, and I could tell he was different. And he came up to me with a big smile on his face. And he said, I need to talk to you. And so we went back to my office. He normally hadn't done this. He would just say hi and move on. And we sat in my office that night, and he said, the Lord has rescued me. He said, I'm dying of AIDS, but the Lord has rescued me. And he told me a story. He said, I had this vision, and I was deep in my sin. He said, because he was raised to know the Lord, and he was raised around the Holy Spirit and all that, I know. But he said, I had this vision, and the Lord came to me, and he said, I was in mud up to my neck. He said, all of my garments were filthy. He said, there was all kinds of filth around me in my vision. And he said, and then here come the Lord. And he said, I just cried the whole time because he was talking about how good the Lord come right in that mud. He said his garment was so beautiful, was so white, but said he didn't bother him to come wading out in that mud. And he come down in that mud and picked me up in his own arms and carried me out of that mud into safety. And he said, that's when I repented and came to the Lord. And he said, I'm here tonight. A lot of his family had abandoned him. And he said, I'm here tonight to ask you to do my funeral and to let you know that you'll see me in heaven someday. That's the kind of God we serve. If we violate his principles, we're going to suffer for it. And you're going to see that in the New Testament in just a minute. But he's so full of love, he's relentless after us. I can't tell you the amount of services I was in with this friend of mine over the years. And then he left and got into this lifestyle. But the Lord rescued him. And I'm thinking about his parents' prayers. How they didn't return void. How they put that in him. And God came at just when the devil thought he was going to have him, the Lord showed up. And that is the beauty of being a Christian. And we got to share that love and that hope with people because they're blind. They're crazy. I know they're crazy. We used to be crazy. And you, go ahead and shake your head. We all used to be crazy. But the Lord, and so it was such a beautiful thing to see how God had rescued him and loved him. The Bible says in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy. Now listen, it don't say it strong enough in the English. In the Hebrew it says it like this, surely goodness and mercy shall chase me down all the days of my life. I tell you, if he'll hang his own son on a tree, he's after you and me. He loves us that much. If he would hang his own son on a tree, it don't surprise me a bit that he would go in a mud hole and carry somebody out of it. That's the kind of God we serve. And so it's beautiful to see that even though sin is a destroyer, that Jesus is right there all the time to bring life and hope and newness. And it just made me have so much joy to see that he had been rescued by the Lord. Amen. So God's telling us, he's saying, here's what I'm after. Here's what I like for you to do. Hey, I don't want you to live like this. Now it shall come to pass in chapter 28, verse 1, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And don't you think that's where America's been for a long time? We came over here to worship God freely, and there's nobody perfect but Jesus, but we had good intentions. We had built our judicial system on God's ways, the Judeo-Christian understanding of his law. We've lost sight of that. It started in the 20s, got worse in the 60s, and it continues to get worse. But God did set us. I've said this over and over. The only nation that comes close to being as blessed as Israel is this one you're in. We were so, and I know we're going backwards in a mighty way. But it's God said, he told Israel, said, I'm going to set you on high. Blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds. I'm going to have to give God a little credit here. We saw that in the last 18 months in this church. We saw God's people get their socks blessed off while the world was struggling. people getting jobs, raises, blessings, all kinds of stuff. We saw that because you stayed faithful. You stayed faithful, and you kept believing, and we kept living what we've chanted for 5 years. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. And we walked with Him and obeyed Him, and we did a lot of things that was leaps of faith, and God answered that. And that's why in the next couple of weeks we're going to baptize like 4 more people. That's going to make almost 58 people we've baptized in the last 12 months. Because God's moving, and He moves so many ways personally and all that. And one of the things, you know, I'm the last guy, I'm the last tech guy, you know, the last one to get on board. So I still have a rotary phone. No, I'm just kidding. But I spoke with a man this week who had said he was under conviction and he went to church for a while and he just couldn't feel what he needed to feel. And he said he went on Google and said there were all kinds of churches in this area. And he said all he could see was Living Water. He said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "Don't you?" And he came here 3 weeks ago and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? That's beautiful. We want God to send them in from the north, south, east, and west. And that's one of the prophecies we got when we started, that vision that they were coming from every direction. God wants to save. We're running out of time. And God wants us to be serious about His business. Because we got people all around us in every different setting that needs to know the love of Jesus. And I've been proven wrong. I mean, God has done so much with my limited understanding of certain things. He's went beyond my wildest imagination. And God can do far above. And I'm glad He did that. You know why? Because the Bible tells us that God can do far above what we can even think or imagine. That's the God we serve. And all He's asking for us is to just follow Him, right? And obey Him. And He says, you'll be blessed in the city. The fruit of your body will produce ground, increase of herds, increase your cattle. Bless your basket and eating bowl. Bless when you come in. Bless when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way. They shall flee before you 7 ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and all that which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you. If you keep His commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. That is another reason He sets up boundaries for us. He don't set up boundaries for us to make us a trophy. He sets us up boundaries to make us a witness. He wants us to be a witness. That's why we live, the word I used last week, holy, a cut above, is the best definition I found of that. It means to live a cut above. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you dress a certain way or all that. It just means you live according to God's plan, a cut above. The world, who don't know Jesus, they don't get up in the morning and think, how can I please God? But that should be us. They don't get up in the morning thinking, how can I please the Lord? What can I do for Him? But we should be the ones that get up in the morning like that. What do you got for me today, God? What am I going to do? How are you and I going to walk today? The Lord will establish you as these holy people, and the Lord will you'll be called by the name of the Lord. The peoples of the earth will see that, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord your fathers to give you. Now, I've been in a lot of different places, been around some people that have notoriety in different circles. But the most in awe I fear is when I've been around a couple of guys that have a prophetic anointing. More than any politician I've been around. It's just, you can feel that presence, right? They got a prophetic anointing on them, like that mantle in the New Testament in Ephesians. Those guys that can read your mail. You know what I'm talking about? And sometimes God gives us insight to that. All of us, He uses us in that gift. Sometimes, but there's certain guys that carry that mantle, certain people that carry that mantle, and it's a kind of a, whoo, you know, this kind of a presence of awe, because the Lord is kind of like Elijah, you know. He understood that he was in God's presence all the time. That would be good for all of us to really get a hold of. He said, when he would ask something from God, he'd say, "In Jehovah, in the presence of Jehovah, in whose presence I now stand." He recognized whose presence he was in. And that's a game changer for any of us. And he says, the Lord will open his good treasure, he says. Let me back up. The produce of your ground, the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, the Lord will open to you his good treasure. In verse 12, the heavens to give you rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord, you know, some of you all been around me long enough, we learned a valuable lesson. Instead of complaining, we should pray. Some of you remember this from several years ago. The whole South was in a drought. And we prayed one Sunday, and the next day it rained. God brought. It's available to us. It is, if we will pray instead of complain and worry. Say what Psalm 37 says. Fretting only causes harm. Worry only causes harm. It don't do any good. And my wife will tell you this because I tell her this too. I've been practicing this for the last so many years. I'll pray with you. I'll listen to you. I'll share scripture with you. But I ain't worrying with you. If I'm going to worry, I'm going to worry about my stuff. I ain't going to worry about yours. But if I'm not going to worry about my stuff, why would I worry about yours? My wife and I were having a conversation the other day. I said, well, if that happens, we'll just start over. Right? That's what we do. That's what America was made on. People starting over and over. We'll just start over. We have a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Our God can send food from heaven. He can send a raven to feed a prophet. You all remember that story? We have a modern day story. One of the missionaries who was in prison in the Middle East, in one of the circles I was in years ago, they talked about this missionary who'd been in prison and they were starving him out. And he said, one morning he got up, was praying, and he said, look, here come a big rat. And the first thought is, nah, that's not good. He said that rat had the hold of the stem of an apple, drug it into the jail cell, left it, and walked out. Apple unscathed. Now that's the kind of God I serve. He said the next morning, here come that rat again. Had a banana by the stem, dropped it off in the jail cell, left. I wish all stories ended that way, but another family went and got their son who was killed for being a Christian. I believe it was in Romania. And when they went to pick his body up, they led the man who killed him to the Lord while they were there. Those are modern day testimonies. We can do it, folks. You know why? Because the same Holy Spirit that fell in the book of Acts is the same one that's inside of you and I. Amen. When I say we can do it, we can just be the vessel. He can still do it, right? He can tell a rat, hey, he sent ravens to feed Elijah. And the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord God. He changeth not. So I'm not a skeptic when a rat drags a banana in the jail cell, right? He drowned a whole army in the Red Sea. Your God can do anything. I think he's just looking for people who will take him at his word and step out on it. Amen. And so he says, but it shall come to pass. He said, verse 14, you should not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or left or the other gods to serve them. He says, verse 15, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now, I want to go somewhere else before we do that. So, Sister Melanie, let's shoot those other scriptures up there one at a time. So, this is Galatians 6 and 7 through 9. Brethren, if a man is overtaken, 6, 7, yeah. All right. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Next verse. So, let me just say a word about this verse. That don't have to be a bad verse. Everybody uses that in a negative context. But it's like I said last week. If you sow 2 rows of corn and your neighbor sows 40, you can't get mad at him because he gets more years of corn. Right? So this is not a bad verse necessarily. Whatever a man sows, he will. Because skip Galatians and go to the next one if you got it up. Because he goes on to say, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap the Spirit. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap to the flesh. I know he's having commuter trouble. Is it locked up on us? So the next one is Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I want to show you some patterns here in the Bible. In Luke 6 and 38, in Luke 6, 38, I'll just read them to you until we get that rolling there. In Luke 6, verse 38, he says, Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So he started off by saying, give in good measure, right? So that's Luke. So you reap what you sow. Go to the next one. Be 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. You all didn't know I was faster than a computer, did you? Look at verse 9 and 6 says in 2 Corinthians, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Now, I started you off in Galatians, right? He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So you can't get mad at somebody if they're getting blessed by the Lord by obedience and you're unwilling to obey and you're not getting as blessed as they are, right? And so they did a study, and I'm going to say this because I think everybody needs to hear this around the world. People who worship the Lord regularly have far less sickness than those who don't. That was a study. That wasn't a Christian study. That was a scientific study. And so that means we're exempt from things. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm just saying there's a value to being in God's presence and doing His thing. The next one, you beat me to it. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. Sowing and reaping. Look at Malachi 3 and 10. The next one. Or if you're Italian, it's Malachi. All right. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there will be food in my house. I didn't run the rest of that out, but he said it'll cause you to be running over. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Keep going. Can you pull the next verse up even though? If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing. Next verse. There will not be room enough to receive it. Now, I like to say this because it's not just money. There's no amount of money that can bring you the pleasure of some lost child getting saved or my buddy coming in that night and tell me the Lord had got him out of the pit. There's no amount of money that even compares to that. So God can bless us in other ways, right? In Hebrews it says in 11:5 or somewhere in there, 11:3, it says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, right? That's being pursuit. When you're diligent about something, you're in a pursuit of it. It's not, we'll go if we feel like it, if we get the chance, if there's nothing else to do, we'll go be with God's people. No, it's something you pursue, right? And the word reward in the Greek is an accounting term. It means payer of wages. Doesn't mean God always gives us money. It just means that God will reward us. He will pay us back with something because He's looking for those people who want to be in His presence. It's just like, you know, if the grandchildren just do their own thing and one grandchild keeps going over to Grandpa's house, and every time he goes over to Grandpa's house, he hands him $5. And the rest of them say, well, why don't Grandpa give us $5? Well, you don't never go over and see him. Right? And so that kind of doesn't mean people aren't saved. It just means that people, you can get as much of God as you want out of Him. And there's no end to Him. Some people pursue God harder. Some people have a passion. They want more of Him. And some people like where they're at until trouble comes, right? Let's go to the next one. Job 4 and 8. Even as I have seen, to those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Now that is a negative one, but he's pointing something out here for us. Look at Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. In Haggai, he talks about something that I think we should all pay attention to. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. We don't need to pursue that. We need to pursue Him. What Jesus said in the New Testament, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. So if I can draw this pisteo path one more time, am I running out of time? Not hardly. If I can draw this again, put stick man in the path here, and stick man is on his way to God. And so God has certain things designed for stick man to be a part of stick man's life, all right? He's called him into the pisteo path, the faith path, we'll call it the pisteo. And this is where God's provision is at. This is where God's protection is at. This is where God's blessing is at. And so stick man is on his journey toward God, all right? Now God saved stick man, redeemed him, made him righteous by clothing him in his son, and brought him out of this darkness out here, put him in the path. Now stick man's walking with the Lord. And what God has designed for stick man is that stick man have certain things intersect his path at certain times, because God is maturing us and conforming us in the image of Christ. Paul said, I'm travailing in birth again till Christ be formed in you. And so what's happening is God has all these things designed. So let's say God has stick woman over here, right? And he's going to make stick woman a part of his path. So God's been working on stick woman to cause her to intersect with stick man right here, right? And so the danger is, or the temptation is, for stick man to not wait on God to bring those things into his life, but the temptation is for stick man to get out of the path and pursue them on his own. Am I talking to anybody? That can happen to any of us. And so what happens, Paul said, that let that which is lame be healed and turn back into the path. Because when you step out here and pursue something that's not in the timing of God, not part of his provision, you wait till he brings it, then you put yourself, or I put myself, at risk. And so God's got all kinds of blessings for stick man. Enjoy the ride. That's what I want to tell some Christians. Enjoy the ride. You can't save the world today. Jesus is the one that saves the world anyway. Enjoy the ride. You plant, you water, plant and water where you're at today. God will have to give the increase anyway. It's just enjoy the ride. Enjoy the fellowship. Enjoy being with God. And let him bring these things into your life at the right place at the right time. Because if you go after them, or if I go after them, I will injure myself or cause harm or get or worse. So if this is just like raising a child, right? This child, let's say this child's a year old. I don't get the child out in the yard and say, there's a mower, start pushing. Right? We wait till they grow up. I don't bring a five-year-old shotgun and say, now go out and get some squirrels and rabbits, right? Because we let them mature, and as they mature, we don't give a five-year-old the car to drive. Or do, if you did. So you see, that's how God works in our lives. He's a good father. He's a good father. He's the best father. And so the good father says, just walk with me and let me take control of your life. Seek the kingdom first, and all these other things will start imparting into your life, and they'll be a blessing and not a curse. You know what I tell my children? I told them all this. I tell all their friends that come over. You know what's worse than marrying the wrong person? Absolutely nothing. That's what I tell them. So you want to make sure you intersect the right place, right? So I'm not going to get any further into that. Just leave it at that. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. Another last one I want to give you, and we'll get back to Deuteronomy. Okay, let me take it to you. Hosea chapter, we've been having a little computer trouble before we got started here. Hosea chapter 8. Verse 7. It says, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud. It shall never produce meal. It shall, if it should produce, aliens would swallow it up. And I saved that one for last because I believe that's where America's teeter-tottering right there. This happened to Israel. And Paul said the things that happened to them are for our learning. We're supposed to learn what's going on. how God deals with things. It says, they sow the wind, they reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud, it shall never produce meal. It should, if it should produce, aliens would swallow it up. Do you know how much farmland in this country has been sold to other countries? It's staggering. Okay, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. So he says, it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, in verse 15 of 28, to observe carefully all his commandments, his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So basically, God, the Bible's filled with that, right? The Bible tells us if you do this, this is what you can expect. If you do this, this is what you can expect. It could be good, it could be bad, right? I mean, it could be on either side. And so the Bible's pretty clear about explaining to us how things work. He says, cursed you shall be in the city, cursed you shall be in the country, cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. So it's basically the same thing he said you'd be blessed in. If you don't obey God, this is what will happen. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall be when you come in, cursed shall be when you go out. The Lord will send you on a cursing, confusion, send on you cursing, confusion, rebuking all that you set your hand to do. Until you are destroyed, you will perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until that you perish. And your heavens which are over you, head shall be bronze, the earth shall is under you shall be its iron. The Lord will change the rain in your land, your powder and dust from the heaven that shall come down to you and until you are destroyed. That's why I said, like the states out west are facing a drought, they need to start talking to God. That'd be the best thing they could do, is talk to God. I'm going to leave you with this because this is the beauty of what it means to obey God. How many remember Joseph? Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, treated bad, went down to Egypt. Didn't have a bad attitude, though. He didn't say, my life's bad because I've been treated bad and I didn't deserve this. He just stuck with God, right? So Potiphar buys him. Plans of God, right? Potiphar buys him, takes him in. The Bible says that he knew more about how big Potiphar's bank account than Potiphar did. That's how well-trusted he was. Potiphar's wife gets her eyes off on Joseph. He must have been a good-looking dude. Probably could have been on GQ today. And he's standing there, and she gets his eyes off on him. And here's what he says. Notice relationship. He doesn't say, well, I can't do this because I can't do this because if Potiphar finds out. He didn't say that. He said, I can't do this wickedness in the presence of God. He understood what Elijah understood, right? I'm in his presence right now. And so then he goes on, he gets lied on again, he gets mistreated again, gets thrown in prison. It's not long while he's in prison. He got charge over the whole prison. That's the Lord, amen in me. And he's got charge over the whole prison, and all of a sudden God starts using him. He starts interpreting dreams, comes to the top. Then he comes out of there, and then God raised him up to be second in command, only behind Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, I'll only be in charge over you when I'm in my throne. Otherwise, you have the same authority I do. And the Egyptians named him Zerahpeponeh, which means Savior of the world. And he's the most complete picture, forerunner of Jesus. He was between two. One lived, one died. He was sold for silver. Jesus was sold for silver. Jesus was between two. One went to heaven, the other didn't. Jesus took a Gentile bride before the famine hit. Joseph took a Gentile bride before the famine hit. There's so much. Joseph would trade with his brothers. Jesus would trade with his brothers. They both had unusual coats or cloaks that they were given, just on and on. He's the most complete picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. And then finally, you know what the Bible said about him? Because he stayed faithful. It didn't mean he didn't have trouble. Now, listen to this. This needs to be clear to all. We all face trouble. We all face adversity. That's how I want to say it. You're all going to have adversity. I have adversity. But the Bible said everything he put his hand to do, God blessed him. That's how we can live if we live inside where God put us. Everything he put. Now, he had trouble. The Bible talks about in Psalms how they locked his feet and fetters in his hand and all that. He suffered. And they were going to kill him if Judah hadn't stepped up to the plate. That was all part of God's plan. God takes us through a journey, and this is why I said the other day, this path is stenos. It's narrowing. That's what the word stenos means in the Greek. It's where we get stenosis and all those medical things. It's narrowing. Why is it narrowing? Because Matthew, stick man Matthew, needs to keep getting edged off so that he's getting more like God and less like him. He must increase, I must decrease. And so that's why the Lord takes us in a narrowing path. You're not going to escape without adversity. You have an adversary. His name is Hasatan. We call him Satan in the New Testament. The devil, whatever you want to call him. We have an adversary who opposes. That's what an adversary does. He opposes. And God allows him to oppose us because we need refined. And we need to learn God's power, His grace, His mercy, and keep falling in love with Him more and more and more, and letting His Holy Spirit conquer every region of our lives. And Lord, we just ask that right now. May we humble ourselves in such a way, everybody, under the sound of my voice, who may get this podcast or whatever, may we humble ourselves in such a way that the Holy Spirit can invade our territory, invade my life, and conquer everything in me that's not like You, God. Let that process keep working. Make me a better father. Make me a better husband. Make me a better son, a son to You, Lord. Make me a better servant, pastor, whatever Your callings and anointings, Lord. Let me grow in those. And those things can only grow as the ground is cleared out, as there's more conquering going on in my life. And we invite You, Holy Spirit, to conquer our lives and use whatever means necessary to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. We bless Your name. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And everybody said, now, I pray that prayer every day. And when I get to earth, I talk to me, because Adam is red clay or red earth. We are the earthen vessel. So when we're praying for His will to be done, it's inside of us, right? In this earthen vessel, in this vessel of clay. Amen.